Morning preaching through the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. Let's see if we can make it through Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. And I believe we left off around verse 39. Luke chapter 2. Verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Brethren, you're reading about the only thing in the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ as a boy, as a young man. Everything else you're going to read in the Bible is either about the baby Jesus from the time his pre-incarnate being to the time he's about 2 years old, or from the time about the time he starts his ministry when he's 29 or 30 years old. And other than that, the only thing we know about the rest of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in this one portion of Scripture right here that we're reading this morning. So, very important. Verse 21. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. That must have been some sight. That would have been something to be a fly on the wall for, wouldn't it have been? A 12-year-old Jesus sitting there, and listen, he wasn't disrespectful. He sat with all those doctors of the law. He didn't tell them nothing. He just asked them questions. And then as he asked them questions, then they started asking him, and then he'd give them the answers. That's what's going on. He's doing that thing with the right approach, with the right of spirit, and those doctors, everybody's just amazed at what this 12-year-old boy knows. How much did he know when he was 12, you think? He knew everything. Now here is the only place ever that you do find in the Bible or anywhere else a 12-year-old boy who really was a know-it-all. Amen. He knew it all. And he was only 12 years old. Amen. Some of you are 30 years old and think you know it all, but that's only because you still act like 12-year-olds. Amen. You're welcome. Verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Listen, he was a know-it-all and obeyed his parents anyways. Amen. He was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, last couple months in our Sunday school lessons, which I encourage everyone to attend, our adult Sunday school lessons as we're going through rightly dividing the Scriptures. The last couple of months we've been covering
the understanding, the idea of the difference between our standing and our state in Jesus Christ. And that's important to know. Every Christian needs to understand that there's a difference, see, between your standing in Christ and your state. Another way of saying that is there's a difference between your relationship with Jesus Christ and your fellowship. We okay this morning? All right? There's a difference between your relationship with Jesus Christ and your fellowship. If you're saved, if you've been born again, the Bible says you're a child of God. Jesus Christ is your Savior. You are sealed until the day of redemption. You are in Christ. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are saved. You will be saved. You are now being justified. You will be justified. You have been delivered. You are being delivered. You shall be delivered. It's all finished in Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. That's your relationship. But that doesn't mean because that's your relationship that you have fellowship. See? You can have a relationship. You can be someone's child, but you can be out of sorts with them. See? You can say, so-and-so is my mom, or so-and-so is my dad, or so-and-so is my child, or so-and-so is my spouse, but you could not be in fellowship together. Now, the relationship hasn't changed, but the fellowship has. Now, how many of you know that you have Jesus for forever? You know, if you're saved, you have Jesus for forever, amen? But how many of you ever gone anywhere without Jesus? Huh? Come on now, right? You understand the difference? You got to understand the difference. I'm not telling you that if you lose Jesus that you lost your salvation, but you lose fellowship. You ever go anywhere without Jesus? You ever lose Him? Now, if you're saved, you can't lose that relationship, but you sure can lose fellowship. And here's Mary and Joseph, and they go down. Every year, as they do, they go down. Time of the Passover. Not even realizing that it was the Passover lamb that was going down with them every year. Who in that very spot, in 777, 21 years later from the time he was 12, would finish his father's business and rise from the dead 3 days after the Passover. Amen. From that very spot in the temple, see? The Lord's got all this stuff planned out. He had it all worked out. Mary and Joseph didn't know all that. But Mary and Joseph go down there, and then they get back with their acquaintance, and they're heading back, and they've been gone about a day now, and all of a sudden, Mary says, Hey, honey, go tell Joseph to bring his brothers and sisters up here. I need to talk to him for a second. And he says, I thought you had Joseph with you. She says, what? No, I thought you had... No, you said... No, I thought you said that... You ever done that, parents? We've done that. That's embarrassing. I thought you were bringing him home for church. No, I thought you were bringing him home for church. Well, let's go back and get him. Amen. Or have so-and-so drop him off. It's happened. It's embarrassing. But it's happened. And you know what? If you're not careful, you can lose Jesus, just like they did. If you're not careful, you can leave Him behind and end up being without Him. How do you think it was for them when they realized they didn't have Jesus? Come on now, you think they had joy? You think they had great peace? Uh-uh. All of a sudden, that burden got heavy. Oh, my. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Mom and Dad, you ever lost one of them in the store or something, and all of a sudden that lump come up in your throat, and that, oh, no. That ever happened? Can you imagine what they're going through? Where's Jesus? Now, I don't doubt their love for Jesus. I don't doubt their love for Jesus for a minute. But just because they loved Him doesn't mean it wasn't possible for them to lose Him and leave Him behind. And so my title of the message this morning is simply this, Finding Jesus. Finding Jesus. And if you're going to find Jesus, listen, you must first realize that you don't have them, you must realize that you left them behind. You have to be willing to admit that. See, look there in verse 44. Verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened to Jesus? Listen, they had to admit it. Go on now. They had to admit that they didn't have Jesus. And the only way you're going to find him, the only way you're going to get him back, is when you can get to that point where you can admit that you don't have him. Can you imagine how embarrassing that must have been for Mary and Joseph? They're having to go among all their kinfolk and all their acquaintance, all their friends. Hey, have you seen Jesus? No. Have you seen Jesus? No. Hey, y'all, we got to go back to Jerusalem. We left Jesus. They had to admit, that must have been embarrassing. That must have been shameful. You know why a lot of Christians never get Jesus back? Because they don't want to have to really face up to the fact that they ain't got him. It's embarrassing. Shameful. Say, come to the altar. Obey the Holy Spirit. Well, if I do that, so-and-so is going to think and someone's going to say that, and they don't want to face that. Wouldn't that have been something? How much do you suppose his parents really would have loved him if they had decided, you know what, rather than suffering the embarrassment and the shame, we'll just keep going without him? That had been something. That altar call comes and you don't come. But you see, it's real easy to deceive yourselves into thinking everything's okay and, oh, I got Jesus. You don't have Jesus. You left him. I've seen Christians go years without Jesus. But they're just not willing to admit or realize that they left him behind. You say, so-and-so got backslid. And why'd they get backslid? You know how it started? It started when they left the house one day without Jesus. Come on now. It started when one day they said, Jesus, I'll be back. Right? Just one time, a little time without Jesus, and then a little more time without Jesus, and then a little more, and see what you're doing? You're just going in your own strength, and you're gonna backslide. It will happen. You can count on that. Because you can't do it in your own strength. You can fake it for a little while, but you can't do it in your own strength. You got to have Jesus. And to do that, you got to realize you lost him somewhere. You got to realize you need to go get him back. And that's the first step. If you're going to find Jesus, the first step is you must realize, you must admit that you lost him somewhere along the way. And then really, listen, you have to understand how you lost him. You see, look there in verse 43. You have to understand how you lost them. Verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? Was Jesus wrong? Did Jesus leave them, or did they leave him? Huh? Who was responsible for that thing? It wasn't Jesus' fault. He's just always going to be doing the Father's business. See? See, what happened? Well, they just started to go in different directions. You start and go in different directions, you'll lose Jesus. Look with me in Deuteronomy. Hold your place here, please, in Luke chapter 2. We'll be back there in just a second. But look with me in Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And whenever you get out of sorts and you're not agreeable with Jesus Christ, listen, He doesn't leave you. You leave Him. Deuteronomy chapter 9, notice what the Lord says about His people Israel in verse 12. And the Lord said unto me, arise, this is Moses talking, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves, they are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. Read that again. They are quickly turned aside out of the way that I commanded them. It don't take long, does it? And you know what the Lord tells Moses there? God's telling Moses, hey, you get your people that you brought forth out of Egypt. I thought they were God's people. I thought God brought them forth. Lord ain't with them. They quickly turned out of the way that He told them to go. You know what will happen to you? You'll quickly turn out. You'll be surprised how quick it can happen. And you'll get turned out of the side of the way that you were supposed to go, and next thing, you're all on your own. Amen. You left Jesus behind. Well, I've met Christians. I call them church hoppers. I don't know what other name to call them. Church hoppers in the sense that they go from one church to another. In the South, you can do that real easy. In the South, you could go to a different independent Baptist church every year. Amen. And never run out of them. Amen. Within driving distance. Right? And you'll find they'll go from church to church to church to church to church to church to church. Never find a church good enough. You know what that is? Listen, I'll tell you what that is. That's Christians who have lost Jesus somewhere along the way. And so now all they're going to do the rest of their lives is go from church, and then they're going to see all the problems in that church, and they're going to blame everything on that church, and that way they don't have to face nothing because they can keep blaming it on each church they go to. And they'll just always point their fingers at they go to, and it'll always be the church, and they'll never point their fingers into themselves to realize, you know what? I think it was about 8, 9, 10 years ago, we lost Jesus somewhere along the way. Come on now. In Galatians, Paul says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You get a little leaven, you get a little sin, you start out in your will instead of God's will, it won't take long. And you'll be quickly turned outside of the way. And you and Jesus start going in different directions. And you'll lose them. You say, how'd they lose them? They just had a false presumption. Look there in verse 44. Verse 44. But they, now look at that word, supposing him to be in the company, was he? No, they just supposed he was. They figured he was. They had a presumption that wasn't true. They just had this idea that, well, Jesus will always be with us. Wrong presumption. They supposed wrong. They supposed wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 12, chapter 10 verse 12 says, therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. Take heed, lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Is that you? Oh, I'll never lose Jesus. Let him take heed, lest he fall. You suppose, well, I can just go on my way. Now listen, you'll lose him before you know it. You better be careful. You better be careful thinking like that. Listen, every day, you need to make sure you got Jesus with you. Amen? Every day. Now Mary, Joseph, someone should have gone out and looked and made sure, Jesus, where are you? And got a hold of you and got a hold of his hand before they ever left. Is that what you do before you leave your house for the day? Did you ever head out on your way without Jesus? You better find them. Now look at that, verse 44. This is interesting, verse 44. But they, supposing him to be in the company, went how long? How far? A day's journey. A whole day. Well, they just supposed. They just supposed Jesus was with them. Listen, they went a whole day without him. We're okay this morning. But now think about this. Look at verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. Huh? Isn't that something? How long did it take them to lose him? Just one day. But how long did it take them to find him? Hey, it's always easier to lose him than it is to find him. Don't just suppose he's with you this morning. Huh? Don't just suppose he is. Sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. Sin will make you pay more than you ever want to pay. And sin will make you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay. You better find Jesus. Look there in verse 48. Look what happens. Because they look at this whole thing. Look at the result. You want to find someone that's kind of lost Jesus? I'll tell you one of the things you look for. This right here, verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Thus dealt with us. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not. You know what he said? Didn't Mary know better? Come on now. Didn't Mary know better than to say that Joseph was Jesus' father? But she did. She knew better than that. Say, what happened? You start losing Jesus, you start getting out the fellowship with Jesus Christ, hey, that doctrine will go. That sound mind will go. Come on now. You get out of fellowship with the Lord, that stuff's not important anymore. That's just creating division. We okay? Say, what happened? You lost Jesus. And now, the truth isn't really all that important anymore, is it? Come on now! It used to be. Remember when it used to be? And next thing you know, the standards go. Little compromise here, little compromise there. Next thing you know, some Christian that used to be on fire for God, winning souls and walking with Jesus everywhere he went, now he's sitting in some liberal church that ain't doing nothing for God and just as happy as could be. Well, I like this church. They don't even preach against the TV in here. Let me know how that works out for you 23 million years from now. Lower them standards. The compromises begin. Oh, I just go to that church because they don't preach anything negative. They're positive about everything. You mean they're liars? How are you going to get the truth without getting things that are negative? Are you perfect? Anybody here perfect? Raise your hand if you're perfect. Maybe there is somebody here. I don't think so, but just in case. You're not perfect? Well, then how are you going to fix what's wrong? By finding out what's right? Or by finding out what's wrong? Come on now. Now, how are you going to find out what's wrong if there's no negative preaching? What are you going to find out what's wrong about you by listening to someone like Joel Osteen preach? And he's just going to sit up there and smile and just say, God loves you and God loves me and God loves the Muslims and God, you know. But you watch, if somebody starts losing Jesus, that doctrine, no big deal anymore. It's interesting how that happens. Verse 44. Look at verse 44. You know what the problem was? Look here, verse 44. They were looking for Jesus, listen, in the wrong places. Verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and they sought him. Well, that's good. They're looking for him. Where are they looking for him at? Among their kinfolk and acquaintance. They were looking in the wrong place. Why did it take them more days to find him than days they'd been away from him? Because they were looking in the wrong places for him. You know what some Christians will do? Listen. They'll get with other Christians that don't have Jesus either. And then they can kind of comfort themselves into thinking that they all have Jesus because they're all together. That's how that goes, brother. That's how that goes. Well, I'm with my kinfolk. I'm with my acquaintance. I'm with other brothers and sisters in Christ, so I must have Jesus and they must have Jesus. No, you all just keep deceiving yourselves. They were looking in the wrong place. That's not where you find Jesus. I like what Brother Angus said there about Martha and Mary. Which one of them had Jesus? Mary. Now, Martha didn't, but you know what she was doing? She was serving. Huh? Oh, I must have Jesus. Look, I'm witnessing. I must have Jesus. I go to church. I'm a member of a Bible-believing church. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I must have Jesus. Right? Uh-uh. You know what a lot of Christians do? They do that stuff so they don't have to face the fact, listen, that they don't have Jesus. That was Martha. She was serving, but she didn't have Jesus. I've seen families come through this church, four of them I can think of right off the top of my head. They'd street preach. They'd witness. Come on. They were in church when the doors were open, but they hadn't had fellowship with Jesus Christ in years. And it didn't even bother them. Because they were still serving him, so they must have him. We okay this morning? You didn't lose Jesus, did you? You know, the Bible says he's not very far from every one of us. He ain't far. If you lost him, he ain't far. But why, if it was only a day's journey, did it take 3 days to find him? Well, they were just looking in the wrong places. Just looking in the wrong places. The Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How diligent do you think Mary and Joseph got once they realized they had lost Jesus? If you lost one of your children, Mama, how diligent would you be in that mall, in that supermarket, at the Walmart? How diligent would you be to be finding that little child? More diligent than you would about finding Jesus? Think about it. If one of your kids, come on now, one of these little ones in the world we live in, and you turn around, where are they? They're not in the grocery cart. Where are they? What would you be doing? Well, they'll probably come back. I'm going to go down the next aisle. Let me check out the frozen section. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You would be diligently trying to find that child. Say why? Because you love that child. Amen. You love Jesus? Then if you lost him, wouldn't you be diligently trying to find him? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, if you lost him, find him. He's not very far. Listen, all you have to do, anybody here, you ever lose your keys or your cell phone or your wallet, men, your purse, ladies? I heard one guy saying, yeah, I got to go find my satchel. And I was like, what in the crazy day? Amen. Crazy place. Now, You ever lose something like that? And then what's the first thing you do? You start thinking right now, okay, wait a minute. All right, where was I? When could have this happened? How long have I really been without them? And then what do you have to do? You have to start retracing your steps, see? And I'm sure that's what Mary and Joseph, they say, well, if he isn't here, I don't know, let's just walk back the same way we came, see if we can figure out where we lost him. And they get all the way back to Jerusalem. They say, now where were we last before we left? Did we stop at the bank? Oh, let's go check at the bank. No, he's not at the bank. Well, before that we were at the market. Remember, we said, oh yeah, let's go to the market. The market, and he's not there. And then they say, well, where were we before that? We were at the temple for Passover. Well, let's go back there. And lo and behold, there he is. Still doing his father's business. Still doing what he'd always done. What's your attitude about finding Jesus? You going to diligently seek him? Do you really want him back? If you want, yeah, but if I do that, I'm going to go down there and everybody's going to think, who cares? Mary and Joseph didn't care. They loved him. If you loved him, you wouldn't care. You come. You get him back. Sister Tammy, would you come play for us, please? We're going to do 391. 391. I'd rather have Jesus. 391. Altar's open. Did you lose Jesus somewhere along the way? Why don't you just come down? Listen, he's not very far away. Why don't you just call out unto him? Find out where. Listen, you're going to find him right where you left him. I guarantee it. You'll find him right where you left him. How many more days are you going to go without him? Remember, now listen. Jesus didn't leave them. They left him. You're going to find him right where you left him. Would you come? Would you come to the altar and pray? Get Jesus back? Get that joy back? Get that peace back? Would you come? Father, I pray you bless the message. I pray for your people. Lord, there may be some here just putting on a show and ashamed, embarrassed to admit they've lost Jesus. I pray that, God, they'd do something. They'd pray where they're at or something. They'd get back. Get Jesus back. Get back where they used to be. Help us, Lord, not just to say we're Christians because we know we have a relationship, but help us to enjoy being Christians because we have fellowship. I pray if anyone here, Lord, has lost fellowship, out of sorts with you, they'd find you today altogether lovely. They'd find you in the temple. They'd get a hold of you. They'd grab your hand. They'd make sure they go everywhere with you from now on. Bless the message. Speak to hearts, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our hymnals to 391. Let God do His work in our hearts. 391. What would you rather have than Jesus? Maybe that's what He's waiting on. Maybe you're going to have to let that go. Come to Him. Let's sing it out on the first verse. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. As Sister Tammy continues to play, let me ask you a question. Maybe you haven't lost Jesus because you ain't never found Him. Maybe you've never been born again. You've never been saved. You don't really know what that means to be a Christian. Say, but I believe in Jesus. When were you converted? When did Jesus come into your heart and change your life? Can you tell me when that was? When did you meet Him? See, you don't meet Jesus and not know it. I'm not talking about you getting baptized. I'm not talking about you joining a church. I'm not talking about you getting religion. I'm asking you real plain. When have you ever prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again? When did you ever pray and ask Him to come into your heart and save your soul? When have you done that? And if you haven't done it, why not? You'll find Him altogether lovely. You'll find Him able to forgive you of all your sins. You'll find Him more than enough for everything you need. You'll find it in Christ. Would you pray? Even now, just bow your head and pray and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Show me what this preacher's talking about. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want my sins forgiven. Wash me in your blood. Give me the free gift of eternal life. Jesus saves, my friends. That's what He came to do. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Is that you? You sinner? That's who He came for. You ever asked Him to save you? Listen, why don't you find Him today? You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Christian, I hope you got Jesus. Amen? And by that, you know what I'm saying. I hope you've got that fellowship with Him. I hope you're walking with Him. That's the most important thing, brethren. Brethren, listen, that's the most important thing. Is your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Everything else comes from there. And if that ain't right, ain't nothing going to be right. But if that's right, there's nothing that can't be fixed. But it all starts there. If you lost Him somewhere along the way, retrace your steps. Find out where He's at. Get back in fellowship with Him today. Amen. All right, we'll close in prayer. And let's see. RJ, go ahead and close us in prayer, please.